Well, good morning. The Bible says that we should give honor to whom honor is due. And we want to be biblical. And this is graduation week for many people. So I just wanted to honor those who have graduated this year, this week. So if you've graduated, please stand and let us honor you. Where are our graduates? I know there's some around here. Where are they? Huh? That's an important milestone, isn't it? So I know some are graduated from high school, some from college, some from grad school and seminary and so forth. And these are important milestones. So we wish you all congratulations and many blessings as you go to the next step and the next phase of your lives. And we pray that the Lord would lead you and guide you and that you would listen to Him and follow Him. In the way that He directs your steps. Bible tells us to lean not on our own understanding, but in all of our ways acknowledge Him and what? He will direct your paths. So make sure that that's what you set your mind and your heart and your will to do over these next days, weeks, and months. And guard your hearts. Guard your minds. Because this is not... This is a joyous occasion for all of you, but it is also a very vulnerable place to be in life. And the decisions that you make at this point and this juncture in your life are decisions that can help you throughout the rest of your life, or they can hurt you and they can follow you in a negative way throughout the rest of your life. So be sure to guard your heart, guard your mind, guard your soul, cover yourself abundantly with God's grace and His mercy and His word, and walk according to the commandments of the Lord. And speaking of the commandments, of course, that's what we're studying right now. And if you're looking for a guide to life, if you're looking for how does the Lord want me to walk, then, you know, the moral law is the part of the scriptures that God gives us to guide us along our way. And we've been looking at the Ten Commandments. We've just finished looking at the first four, what some have called the first table of the law, which points towards God. Some people like to say that the first four commandments point vertically. They point up towards God, and they largely have to do with worship, our worship of God. They tell us that we're to have no other God but God, no other God before God. They tell us, and that way they tell us who we are to worship. Then they tell us how to worship, that we're not to make any graven images. And they tell us, that we're to worship God sincerely and of a true heart and mind. That means that we should not take His name in vain. And then it also tells us when to worship God, namely the Sabbath, the day that God has set aside, the day that God has separated from all other days, the day that is the only really unique day of all the other days of the week. And remember, the word unique means like no other, one of a kind, in a class by itself. And so the Sabbath, the seventh day, the day of rest, is a unique day in that sense. And we are to treat it as separate, as holy. It is a sanctified time. And that's what, of course, we talked about this past Sunday. Now, this morning, we are moving into what people call the second table of the law. And that a lot of folks like to think of horizontally. That points to our relationships one to another. The first table points us up. This points us out horizontally and has to do with all the other spheres of our human relationships. And so that's what we're going to be looking at this morning. And we're going to begin by looking at verse 12 in Exodus chapter 20 with the fifth commandment, which says to honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. Now, this week it was kind of funny because on Tuesday I got home and I opened up my email. And Monday's my day off. And, you know, I try not to look at email too much. But, you know, it's kind of hard when email's coming in. You kind of almost, you know, you kind of glance at it. And Then you see something, it gets your curiosity up, and so you begin to look at it, you know, and then before you know it, you're working on the Sabbath if you're not careful. My Sabbath, anyways. But Tuesday, I was opening up the email after I got home, and there was a whole bunch of email there stacked up from Monday, and I happened to look at one that caught my attention. The subject line simply said, Commandment Number 5. And I thought, I wonder what that's about. And so I began to read the email, and it said, Dear Jim, been thinking about you this week as you prepare for your sermon on the fifth commandment. I got a couple of kids I think that really need to hear this, so I'll be praying for you. No pressure, though. Well, I have to tell you that I feel a little bit of the pressure here regarding this fifth commandment, talking to parents and the children about the honor that is due here. And, you know, it is interesting that where this commandment comes into place. It's the first of the second table. This commandment comes as the first commandment of the second table. And that's a very important place that it occupies just in terms of the literary arrangement of the commandment itself. That tells us something about its importance. Its importance in and of itself. In other words, this commandment has tremendous importance because of what it says about the family and how God views the family, but also of its importance in terms of how it relates to the first table of commandments that all point us to God. The family is certainly important in terms of how it directs us to look at the first table and then to apply the first table into our practices of worship. But it also is important because of, you know, of its position, the second table, and how the family is a key juncture here in the way that this is arranged to help us with all of our other personal relationships. And so we want to give this the importance that it is due. But let me say this before I get too far along the way here. You know, we are really blessed in this church, because I really think we have good parents. We've got good parents here. Most of you I know personally, and some of you I've just recently started to get to know. If you're new to the church and so forth, some of us have considerable history. I've been at this church for 11 years, and so I know many of you pretty well. And I have to tell you that that we have some pretty good parents. You're doing a good job, and you desire, as the scripture teaches, to raise your kids in the fear and admonition of the Lord. And I'll tell you, it's a privilege to co-labor with you in that regard. And I just want to say, you know, along the lines of giving honor where honor is due, you're doing a good job. Keep up the good work. Now, obviously, we can all improve in our roles in that regard. You probably feel the pressure, too, just as I felt the pressure when I got that email. You feel the pressure of the responsibility of parenting. There is no tougher job in the world. There's no harder job to do. But there is no more honorable job to do. There is no more glorious job to do. There is no more important job to do than to parent the children that God has entrusted to us. So, good job, parents. Now, let me just say this. We have some pretty good children, too. We have some good kids. You know, listen, I have been around kids a lot. And, you know, I have been around kids that aren't so good. I was telling my class that I'm teaching this summer in a summer semester at Valencia. And, you know, I was sharing with them that, you know, I've been in the classroom. I've been teaching since 1986. I have seen a lot of students come and go. For five of those years, I taught kids who were the worst 1% of the worst 1% in all of the Southeast. From all the inner cities of the Southeast, I taught the worst 1% of the worst 1%. These were kids that could not make it any place else. These were kids, really, for whom there was no hope. This was their last stop. This was their only hope. And, I mean, I have taught some rough kids. I've taken guns away from kids. I've taken knives away from kids. I've taken martial arts weapons away from kids. I've had all kinds of stuff thrown at me. I've been in three riots and two arsons. I have taught the worst children I believe in the entire Southeast. And I said, I know what bad kids are. Now, you know, up from there, I've taught kids in government schools. I've taught kids at Christian schools. I've taught homeschoolers. You know, so I've taught the worst and I've taught the best. So I've become a pretty good evaluator of children, a pretty good evaluator of our children. And I have to tell you this, folks, that we have some pretty good kids. Sometimes I think, you know, in our efforts to raise our kids and all the time and energy and effort and money that we pour into it, and, you know, we have certain expectations, and those expectations aren't always met in the way that we would like them to be met. And so we share a little bit of frustration, a little bit of disappointment with respect to where we think our kids ought to be, you know. But we have some pretty good kids. Now, that's not to say that our kids are angels, all right? I'm not saying, when I say we've got some pretty good kids, I'm not saying our kids are angels. What I'm trying to tell you is they're not devils. You know, we've got some pretty good kids. And sometimes I think that we don't let them know that enough. So I want to recognize our parents and say, you know what? Good job, parents. And then I want to look at our children and I want to say, you know what? Good job, kids. You're doing a good job. Keep up the good work. Because you know what? That's hard too. Growing up is hard, and that's why most parents, given the chance, would never want to repeat that experience again, right? How many of you want to go back and relive your high school and middle school days, right? Probably not very many. It's tough. It's hard. It's not easy growing up. I don't care how good the circumstances are. It is really, really, really hard. Third point here in my rather long introduction, and that is this, that I know not all of you have grown up in a good, loving, caring, godly family. Some of you grew up in very tough circumstances and situations regarding your family life. Some of you lost your parents almost before you were old enough to remember, or when it was so painful to remember, you would just as soon forget what that felt like. Some of you did not have good parents. Some of you had really bad parents. Parents that were terrible, even evil and wicked, and who did things to you and wounded you and scarred you in ways that you are still grappling with and dealing with today. Things that are unspeakable in a context like this, and things that sometimes we feel are even unforgivable, even though they're not. But I want to say to you, because some of you, I know that that describes you. I know that's your situation. I know that circumstance. But I want to say this. We sung about it this morning, didn't we? You may have had terrible parents, but you've got a good parent. And we sang this morning about how deep is our Father's love. And it is deep and it is wide. And you have a Heavenly Father who has loved you. And I watched you be good parents. You who had no parent or had bad parents, I've seen you parent your children and parent them well. Yes, it still hurts. Yes, there are still scars. But you are giving your children what you never had to give. And I want to say to you, I've watched you grow. I've watched you allow the grace of God to work in your lives, to help heal you, to help make you whole, and ultimately to make you a good parent so that you can nurture your children. And I want to say to you, good job. But I know this, too. I know that when we start talking about honoring your parents, I know what this means to those who have not had good parents, to those who have had bad parents, and even evil and wicked parents. And so I say to you that one of the things that I'm about to say, I've taken that into account. And what I want you to know is that you have a Heavenly Father that is big enough. Big enough. His love is deep enough and wide enough for whatever has happened to us in our childhood, even at the hands of our own parents. And so please hear that there, as we say these things, as we look at this fifth commandment, that there is a tender, merciful God that wrote these words. See, It's a tender, merciful God, a gracious God, a gracious heavenly Father. That's who these words are from. And as much as there is duty here, and as much as there are requirements here for us, and as much as I don't even know where to begin to tell you how to live some of this out when you've come from circumstances and situations like that, Boyd, we really need to rely on the Holy Spirit in those situations, don't you? I can't give you a list, a checklist to kind of follow to say, you know what, if you come from a home like I just described, if you just check these points off, then everything's going to be all right, you know, or this is what it means, you know, the fifth commandment in the context of some of the things that you have gone through as a child in a bad home. All I can say is, folks, under those circumstances, is we just have to rely on the Holy Spirit, walk through this hand in hand, weep together, and hold each other during those times. But that being said, let's now look at Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12, and let's look at this commandment. The first thing I want you to see here is that it says, honor your father and your mother. Now, the word honor, John Calvin says, basically means three things. It means to reverence. It's a reference to reverence, obedience, and gratefulness. See, to honor means to revere. It means to lift up, to exalt, to revere your parents. Now, this is interesting because, you know, the Bible only speaks of reverence with respect to two beings. One of them is God. And the other is our parents. We just talked about what it says, you know, in the first four commandments, that our reverence is to be to God and to God alone. See, have no other gods before me. We are to reverence God and God alone. And we're not to make anything that's, you know, any representation of God in that sense, to bow down to it and to worship it. Only God is to be revered and our parents. You think about that for a minute. Now, this is really important. And then think about that, the beginning of the first table. You know, the first four commandments begin with this idea of reverencing God, and then the last six commandments begin with the idea of reverencing our parents, honoring our parents. And I believe that that's because, you know, our parents are largely responsible for helping us learn how to do both what comes before the fifth commandment and that which comes after the fifth commandment. Honoring our parents are responsible for helping our children learn what it is to reverence God and then learn what it is to love your neighbor as yourself, which is what the last six are all about. And so it's really important. Now, just in case we don't see the importance there because of the way that that is arranged and by interpretation of what the word honor means, think about this. Not only are we told to honor two things that are reverence two beings, namely God and our parents, but, you know, this is, one, you know, dishonoring your parents is one of two commandments of which there is a death penalty attached. I mean, this is serious business, this reverence stuff. And so we are told that, you know, we are to reverence these two beings. We are to reverence God and we are to reverence our parents. And that means that we are to show our parents respect, reverence, honor. And so that's the first thing that I want you to see, is that this means to, you know, look, we live in a time and in a world where there is very little respect for parental authority. You know, and it's not just about those bad kids that I told you that I taught, right? We see it all the time throughout our culture. Yes, unfortunately, you know, we see it in the home. We see it in the school system. We see it out in public. We see it almost pervasively in our culture, a lack of respect for parents. It's all around us. And, you know, this is why, you know, when you raise your kids in the fear and admonition of the Lord, when you raise your kids in the church, this is no small thing. People talk all the time about witnessing and sharing your faith and all that. Let me tell you something. When you raise your kids in the way that you're raising them, this is countercultural. This is a witness. This is a testimony. You are saying to the world that our children are different. that we are raising them different, that we are raising them to respect their parents and to honor their parents. And the second thing that it means is obedience. Children are to obey their parents. And you know, again, I started out by saying, you know what, good job, kids, you're doing a great job. But let me just say this as a word of caution. Because I do see, and some of us, a seed of perhaps rebellion. And the reason why I see it is because I was a rebellious kid. I know what it looks like. I mean, I really know what it looks like. I recognize it. And what I'm saying to you is to be very, very careful about these little tiny seeds of rebellion and disobedience that are in your own hearts. Because suddenly they can blossom into full bore disobedience and rebellion. And most of you know my story. You know where I come from. You know what my background is. You know, if you would have talked to my parents before I was in seventh grade, or right around the time I was in seventh grade, if you would have talked to my teachers, if you would have talked to my coaches, in fact, if you would have talked to my neighbors, they all would have told you that I was a good kid. All my neighbors knew me. All my coaches and teachers knew me. My parents, they all would have bore witness to the fact that I was a good kid. What none of them saw, at least initially, was that there were seeds of rebellion and disobedience in me that I had suppressed and covered up, but that were starting to surface. And by the time they saw it, it was too late. By the time people saw it and started to get concerned, I was well on my way to having a serious addiction to drugs, which cost me 4 years of my life in incarceration. I was arrested, convicted, and sentenced to 4 years in New York State prisons. And everybody that knew me just prior to me going down that path would have said I was a good kid. In fact, I was anti-drug. I was against drugs. I would have right prior to when I got involved with drugs, I would have turned you in if I knew you. In fact, I did that. I knew some kids in our school that were starting to experiment with drugs, and I went and told the teacher. And then less than a year later, I spent almost my entire high school time high. From eighth grade out through my first couple years of college. I don't remember a straight day. And so what I'm trying to tell you, I see it in some of you. And you need to guard your heart. And parents, you need to have your eyes open. And I'm going to tell you this, that you need to be very careful you don't take what your child says at face value. I had a million excuses. I was a superb liar. If you question me about some of my behavior, I could have you going away thinking that you were out of your mind for even thinking like that. I was an expert. And so I'm just saying, folks, listen. You know, I know how sensitive we are about these things. You know, when somebody comes and tells you about your kids, I remember early on in my life, once in a while, somebody started to get what was going on in my life. And they would call home, and they would say, you know, I'm a little worried about Jim. And then my parents would talk to me, and I would smooth it all over, and then everything would be all right. But I know how we are. When somebody comes and talks, the first thing we want to do is get defensive. Beloved, you don't have the luxury of being defensive regarding your children. You better listen to what these people are saying. Now, maybe it's unfounded, maybe they're wrong, but you better at least give it a hearing, and you better not take the first explanation that your child gives you when you question them about that. Now, the kids that I'm talking about, you know who you are. Okay, I knew who I was. You know who you are. You know if you're pulling a game of charades here. And what I'm saying to you is listen to your pastor, because I have been there and I have paid the price. And you don't have any earthly idea. I know what you're thinking. You're thinking I'm smarter than my parents. You're thinking that you're smarter than the authorities, that you're smarter than the police, that you're smarter than your coaches, that you're smarter than your teachers. And you give them lip service. You appear to be honoring them. But the reality of the case is that you know what you're doing. And you know it's just a game to you. And all I'm saying is, look, you know what? You might be one of the ones that don't get caught. You might be one of the ones that just slides right through. But I doubt it. I was smart and I was good at what I did. But nobody's that good. So, young people, listen to me. I'm just trying to open your eyes here. And I'm just trying to say, be careful. Guard your heart. Guard your mind. Listen to your parents. Obey them. Respect them. And then be grateful for them. That's the third thing it means to honor, to be grateful for your parents. Scarcely do children ever realize how blessed they are. It's not our nature to realize how blessed we are when we're children. But I want to tell you something, those of you that are sitting in this pew this morning, to all of my young people here this morning, and to all of you who are adult children as well, for the most part, you are and you have been really, really blessed. And if you don't believe me, there are some people in these pews who did not have good parents, who in that regard, they were not blessed. They had terrible parents, or at least one terrible parent. They were hurt by their parents. Some of them were robbed of their childhood by their parents. Some of them suffered at the hands of their parents. They don't have very much to be grateful for or thankful for with respect to their parents. And you know, maybe one of the best things that we could do is sit down with a handful of these people so that you could talk with them. Those of you who have good parents could talk to the ones that didn't. And then you would realize how fortunate and how blessed you are to have the parents that you have. We are, for the most part, very, very blessed to be in the families that we are in, to have the parents that we have. And we should be grateful. We should be thankful for the parents that God has given us. So that's what it means to honor. Honor your parents. Now, honor your mother and father, right? Well, as we confessed this morning, that means a whole lot more than just your mother and father, doesn't it? It refers to all spheres of authority. All spheres of our relationships, right? The confession this morning, the catechism, this question this morning, said that it refers to those who are superior, those who are inferior, and those who are equal. See? That we're to honor, we're to each honor each other in all of those spheres. And then notice what it says after that. There's a promise attached to this one, isn't there? See? There's a promise attached to that. Why? So that you may live long in the land your God has given you. Some of you remember Spock, right? Star Trek. Remember the old Star Trek film, right? What did Spock used to say? Live long and prosper, right? Okay? There's a promise attached to this. Live long and prosper. Now, I don't necessarily think that that means that we're going to, necessarily live a long life in terms of the number of the years that we have, or that we're going to be wealthy. All right? I do think there's a general principle here, though, that if you do honor your parents, that then things will go well for you, better than they would otherwise most of the time. I think really what this is after, though, is the idea of passing on our faith. It looks back and it looks forward. See, that if parents raise their children in the way that they should, and children honor their parents, and what that means, what that refers to, is both our heritage on the one hand and our inheritance on the other. Not just with material goods, but with our faith. With our practice, that we are passing on our faith to our children and their children and their children after them. One of the things that has happened in our culture today is that we live with no idea of history on the one hand and no idea of the future on the other. If we think about history at all, we think about it in terms of our own lifetimes. And if we think about our future, we just sort of think, what am I going to do with my life? And that's the extent of our context of viewing the world in which we live. We really have no context. And this is the thing about parenting that we need to be careful about, too. Because, what we want to do, all we see is our children's lives. And we think, oh, I want my child to grow up and to be successful, and I want them to think about what they're going to do, and I want them to go to school and get a good job and, maybe have a family and so forth. But it's all about the success in that child's lifetime. In other words, the farthest extent of our view on this is that I want my kid to turn out okay. I want them to do well. Look, this promise that's attached to this commandment is so much bigger than that. It reaches back generations to your parents, your grandparents, your great-grandparents, your great-great-great-grandparents, and it reaches all the way ahead to your children and their children and their children and their children and their children, all who will be blessed in the land, and we can take that to mean in the earth. We are passing on something here that is bigger than us and that is bigger than our children. The danger is we become what one literary critic has called passless future beings. Passless, futureless beings. Beings that really have no history and no future. Beings that really have nothing in the past and nothing ahead of them. We live for the instant, we live for the moment, and there's nothing else in our view, and that's all we see. This commandment isn't just about your children doing what you tell them to do at the moment you tell them. This is about passing something on to their children and their children and their children so that we become people of both the past and the future. That we have a heritage for which to appreciate, and we have an inheritance for which we can receive and pass on. That's the promise. And beloved, that's why I don't even think about church so much for the instant as I do think about church of what we are trying to do with respect to 30 years of history here in this church, over 30 years of history in this church, Johnny Spain was 14 years old when I came here. Okay, he's a grown, married man now. I want to see his children and his children's children. This is bigger than us, and it's bigger than just our children. We're not only looking back at 30 years of history, but we're looking ahead to not just 30 more years of history, but to hundreds and hundreds and hundreds, generation of generation of generation of generation of children, all who live to the glory of God for the good of the people of God. That's what we're doing here. And that's what this command is really about. That's why good parenting is important. That's why children honoring their parents is important. So that we can appreciate our rich heritage and our inheritance. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are grateful. We are thankful for our mothers and our fathers, our grandmothers and our grandfathers, our great grandmothers and grandfathers. We thank you for the wonderful and rich heritage that we have. And we thank you, O Lord, that you have blessed us. Lord, I know there are many here who did not have such a good family life. Indeed, some who even had a bad family life. I pray, Lord, that your grace would be upon them this morning, that your mercy would be upon them, that they would look to the deep, deep, deep love of their Heavenly Father. And I pray, O God, that you would continue to heal them, mind, body, and soul. I pray, Lord, for those of us who did have good parents, who do have good parents, and Lord, I pray that you would help them to appreciate them, to revere them, to obey them, and to be grateful for them. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
The same God who gave us this commandment, who is infinitely